We just don't know which teams these guys are going to wind up with, but would it be shocked? Would we be shocked at all if Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy go in some order, 1 through 4? All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points. I'm your host, Blake Buffalo. With me, as always, my co-host, Dylan Reagan. Dylan, we're back after a little bit of a well-deserved vacation here, but it's draft season. So vacation time over for the NFL. From here until next, whatever, February, that's pretty much game on for the NFL with the draft and seeing what happens, how everything unfolds with all that. Then you get into training camp and the season will be here before you know it. But we are going to focus on the draft for this particular episode because we're going to give you some predictions for how we could see things unfolding in the 2024 draft, which is right around the corner. Dylan, some of these may be a little more bold than others, but some, when it comes to the draft, I don't know if you can ever get too bold because you just, there's so much unpredictability. You never know what's going to happen, and we'll make multiple predictions here that will never come true, and there could be ones that we would have given a 1% chance that may come true. That's just the nature of how the draft works. So,
yep. I mean, we saw last year, I would not have predicted the Texans trading up to get the number 3 pick after drafting a QB at 2, but hey, we've seen these kind of things happen, and obviously, worked out pretty well for Houston with some of those picks. But yeah, it's not necessarily a vacation overall. You had a lot of work with the tournament there in college yeah. basketball. But yeah, it's good to be back. And now, yeah, it's kind of crazy. We're only, by the time this comes out, we'll be a week away from the draft. It's kind of come up on us pretty quickly here. But yeah, excited to dive into this. Been looking over what should be a pretty crazy, I think in terms of like the potential for a top 10, 15 to, you know, there's an idea of where, what the general guys are going to be. And, definitely from the end of the season to now, a lot of, quarterbacks, especially one quarterback from the University of Michigan that have risen up boards a bit higher than they were the last time we talked about the draft on here. But, I think there's as much potential for shifting in that group. So many teams that are QB hungry that could trade up, so many new coaching staffs looking to find their guy the same way we had new coaching staffs last year. So yeah, obviously there's a lot of really interesting players, and it kind of, you know, these drafts where there's a lot of quarterbacks end up helping out the teams that don't necessarily need one, because it just pushes down that next group of receivers and some really talented edge rushers and defenders overall that maybe in a typical draft wouldn't be available later in the top 10 or even in the teens here.
Yeah. It's, again, just the trade is always the aspect that it's really hard to predict who's going to make what trade and how that, you know, sends every pick the rest of the way into it's that domino effect. You just don't ever know who's going to be the team that causes the chaos. But we'll start, obviously, there's not going to be much chaos at the very top because we know Caleb Williams is going to go to the Bears. Like, that is out of the picture here. But I think where things start to get interesting is that second spot. Because, you know, we've seen the different things here in terms of like how this thing can unfold with the Commanders. And there's lots of speculation as to, okay, do they go here? Do they go there? I think this is probably where things get interesting, Dylan, because obviously the Jaden Daniels stuff is out there. And the guy just came off winning the Heisman Trophy. Seems to be, you know, pretty, I don't want to say locked in, is certainly a top 3 pick, because it just feels like it's going to be hard for him to go anywhere other than that. But Drake May's out there too. And I feel like there's a lot of misdirection when it comes to draft season. And we've heard all the reports and everything out there about it's going to be Daniels and all this, but could it be Drake May? Do they go back here, Washington to North Carolina, go with Drake May? I mean, this is a very interesting choice, because it's not like you feel like you're maybe getting it wrong either way. These are two very good quarterbacks that are going to be taken this high, but which way do they go? That's a hard one to predict, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, Drake May has been kind of, obviously the whole regular season was the guy, and there's been various points where a lot of draft experts have put him as number one in the QB rankings. I think, Caleb Williams, as you mentioned, will be the number one pick. That I feel fairly strongly about that, and I think that's the right selection from my own point of view. But there's still maybe something that's happened over the last few months with Drake where, yeah, Jaden Daniels obviously wins the Heisman, has a fantastic season, but I the Commanders themselves, from everything I can tell, it doesn't seem like they're tipping their hand, even if there's just a ton of rumors and different things pointing towards Daniels possibly being the guy, but I think they're going to come back to May. I just think since the beginning of last, going into even before last college season, I don't think there's anything he did that would change my opinion on him. And overall, it's just, I think that Dan Quinn and that group and Cliff are going to look at what Drake can do, and not that Jaden can as well. Obviously the numbers he put up were absolutely ridiculous. Jaden's deep accuracy in particular really stood out, in his ability to create. So there's a chance I'll be wrong here, but I kind of put this one on as I just think that at the end of the day, Drake is still, depending on, I know Nate Tice from The Athletic and Yahoo has not gone off his take that he's still his number one QB. And I think for me, I think number two still makes a lot of sense. And I think the Commanders, despite all the different rumors and different things, will ultimately land on the guy that is not playing too far there from DC and Chapel Hill.
Yeah, I don't know. This is, again, it's so interesting. We can tie this in too. Like I said, there seems to be a really good likelihood in terms of like the quarterbacks, where they go here going 1 through 4. And we just don't see that very often, like in this era. Like it's just not, I couldn't even tell you the last time that happened, Dylan. I mean, I really don't know. But I mean, if you think the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams, like I said, that seems like a pretty good idea on that one. Quarterback goes to Washington. New England's there at 3, and even though there's been some stuff, maybe they trade back and all this, you got to believe if they are kind of in this spot, I mean, what do the Patriots need, right? So maybe they decide to kind of make this a new era, pick someone, one of these guys, whichever one that it is. Seemingly, you would assume it's either Jaden Daniels or Drake May, although you said McCarthy's out there. And it's just like, I don't know, like what happens at 4? Like there are so many possibilities here that, when you think about like factoring in trades and everything, it's not that out of the realm of possibility. And maybe if there was a percentage you could bet on right now, the odds are probably better that there are quarterbacks that go 1 through 4, maybe, than not. But it is just kind of so weird how this is sort of set up now. We just don't know which teams these guys are going to wind up with. But would we be shocked at all if Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy go in some order 1 through 4?
No, I think that's odd. I mean, especially the top three, I think is pretty settled. I think, yeah, what makes this a little more is that number 4 pick with Arizona right now. Yeah. But I think there's a strong chance that they trade back and probably don't want to trade back too far. They may, if this prediction doesn't pan out, I think it's because they're probably like, we're going to just take Marvin Harrison and get our Larry Fitzgerald 2.0, right? But there's a chance that they can get both depending on the trades they make. I suppose there's a team just outside the top 10 that could trade up, but that still allows maybe Arizona to stay in that top 5 or 6. The thing is, with the Chargers sitting there at 5, I don't know if Arizona is going to be able to convince them to move back if Marvin's available. So it does get a little, I think there, it can kind of tie in all these different scenarios. Maybe if they give up enough, Arizona could get back. But yeah, if this happens, it's pretty clear that it's going to be a team that's trading with Arizona for the number 4 pick. I don't believe they're going to be taking a quarterback at this point, with everything that we've heard and some of the things that look good in that first year with Kyler out there. So yeah, I think the teams, I put down a prediction app right in the same list that kind of ties into this one, and it was about the Vikings that obviously number 11. They're, the amount of rumors and news about them looking for a QB there's no shortage of that. And it feels like there's maybe, you look at the other teams that are contenders to trade up in this range, the Raiders possibly at 13. The Broncos, I suppose. But the thing that the Vikings, I mentioned this before we started recording, that separates them is just the fact they have that second first round pick at 23rd overall that I think is really just a decisive factor in their ability to possibly trade up here that the Raiders and Broncos and other teams can't really compete with that might be in that range. Looking at the other members of the top 10, I suppose the Giants could make a move up just a couple picks. They could be the team. I have seen some mocks that have McCarthy going there at 6. But for this to pan out, that's a spot that maybe if Arizona can't find that second trade back up into the top 10, that they'd want to still get their receiver. This could be a kind of fit there with New York, depending on what the Giants are feeling. So maybe I'm discounting that, but right now I'm going to say Vikings and kind of tie in for the 4. They're going to be the team that trades up to number 4 and gets McCarthy and starts the post Kirk Cousins era in Minnesota.
Yeah, it just seems like it makes too much sense, which is why, you know, there will be some out of left field scenario that happens now. And so it's like, oh, it makes too much sense for the Vikings to get McCarthy there, trade up, because like you said, they have the pick to work with. And that is what separates them from some of these other teams that are in these spots. And so, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of possibilities here with the Vikings. Obviously, I've seen some people talk about the Giants being in a scenario like this where maybe they find a way to move up. You mentioned that. Like, there are lots of ways you can do this thing when it comes to the draft. And like we said, we've seen these situations before where you have one team jump up maybe into the top three. Although, again, the Patriots rumored a little bit. Maybe they move back if they don't want to take one of the quarterbacks. Then you got the Cardinals sitting there, but then it's like, all right, well, who else maybe jumps up? Because like you said, Chargers seem like they're pretty set at five, because if Marvin Harrison's there, which seems to be the expectation, unless you have someone wanting to jump up to grab him and one of the quarterbacks falls, which is always an option. I don't know. Like, we'd have to go back and look, but this feels like one of those where it seems like we know how, like, maybe 1-2 is going to go. I'm pretty sure about that. But like beyond that, like, man, this could be pretty chaotic with the rest of like the top 10, it seems.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there's just no shortage of different trades and different scenarios that you could throw out there that could make sense. Like, if we don't say Arizona does just sit and take Harrison, we don't have a trade with the top four. The Chargers, as much as if Harrison's off the board, I think offensive line still is a big need for them. There's a lot of really good guys at the top of the draft. Would they just sit there, or would another team that wants McCarthy bad enough trade up to five? So I think there's, at some point, we're going to see a team, in my opinion, trade up into the top 10, whether it's not the, you know, our scenario here with the number four pick with the Vikings. If it's another spot, maybe the Giants can just stand pat and get McCarthy potentially at six. Do that. It depends how much they even want him. If some of these rumors are actually true or not, are they willing to give up what another team might be willing to give up to go to jump them for him? So it's kind of, I think a safer, even if it's not saying an actual, predicting an actual trade, is that there will be, in my opinion, some team that will trade in the top 10, and likely to draft a quarterback. But we've seen kind of crazier things. The Chargers, though, like, they are definitely a candidate for trading back because of some of the, you know, I think that range of players that would make sense for them if they don't get Harrison in that 11, 13, 12, that kind of range in the early teens. I think a lot of those offensive linemen that they'd be interested in are still going to be there. I think that that's probably still a smart move for them, and one that I wouldn't be shocked a guy like Harbaugh and that staff would want to make to protect their quarterback. That we've seen how much offensive line, how important it was with the recruiting and development that they had at Michigan to their success. And I don't think they're going to be running the ball at the clip that they did at Michigan this past year when you have a quarterback like Justin Herbert. But I do think, yeah, having a guy that can have the versatility as a run blocker. I know JC Latham from Alabama, that's who Dan Brugler has the Chargers taking after a trade back. So I think there's a lot of fits. I know Joe Alt's been mocked there a ton. We've seen a lot of guys that could fit. So that would be not shocking at all. But I do think that there's just a number of different trades that's one of the fun parts of this year in particular. There's always going to be some move, but you could see so many different scenarios right now. The Giants are a really interesting team to me in general. I know I just talked about how they could take a quarterback, but there's could be pretty appealing for them with some of the receivers that might be available. Again, going back to that idea that if we do have a really top heavy QB draft, how it pushes down guys like Malik Nabers and Romo Dunze, obviously I don't think Harrison's going to get pushed down too far, but these guys are, and a lot of drafts might be number three, number four picks that are going to end up in 8-9 area. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see where this all ends up. Did you know learning actually makes a sound? It's true. Listen. That's the sound of you learning a new language with Babbel. There has been an increase in effort to scout for international talent to bring to the league. In no time, the sport we love will be loved by the entire world. Imagine flying out to games abroad and watching football with fans from other nationalities. So don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Spend the dollars on plane tickets and choose Babbel. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Babbel's convenient courses help me learn real-life conversation skills in a different language. It's easy to prep for my next trip abroad. Learning how to ask for directions, how to order food, and speak to merchants without having to consult language apps while I'm on vacation is priceless. Plus, they have speech recognition technology that helps improve your pronunciation and accent. If this sounds good to you, download Babbel. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off with your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/thepass. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/thepass, spelled BABBEL.com/thepass. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, which means are the Bears going to get their ultimate wish? And that is having Caleb Williams at one and then getting one of the receivers at nine. I feel like, again, without knowing exactly how to factor in some of these trade possibilities we talked about, I mean, it seems like they're in a good position to do that. But as we always say, it just depends on who's willing to trade up, maybe to grab one of these guys. And where does that put the Bears there at nine? And so it becomes very interesting. But I think that to me sounds like the ultimate. We know that's what the Bears want, right? If you're going to draft your franchise quarterback, can you get one of these, what feels like, you know, a future franchise wide receiver as well? If you can do that in these two picks in the top 10, Bears feel really good about themselves moving forward. But it's just a matter of, like we said, who are going to be the teams that are mixing and matching and swapping picks, and how does that force the Bears to maybe also try to figure out how they make sure they get one of those two guys?
Yeah, it might take the Titans drafting an offensive lineman, which I know in the the old kind of regime wouldn't be a shock at all, but maybe things have kind of changed here. They're a really interesting team to me because obviously there's a number of needs on that offense for Tennessee as they kind of look forward and have their own young quarterback that they're going to be wanting to protect after a season where, yeah, Tennessee, I'm kind of looking down the, you know, finished 25th in an offensive DVOA. Definitely more than a few needs. You could say receivers the biggest one. I wouldn't blame you if you made that claim. So maybe they won't take the offensive lineman like they kind of would have in previous years, but it depends on who's available. I think that's the pick for me that's going to be the difference between the Bears getting that receiver they want at number nine. I suppose the Bears could trade back up. I don't think we've seen from what we've seen from their organizations, that's something that would happen here. I feel like they're going to stand pat, and whether if they don't get a receiver, they might be perfectly happy taking an offensive lineman themselves for a unit that improved over the course of the season and still has some needs though. And I think, you know, protecting Caleb, even if he is a guy that's going to be able to improvise more than a lot of young quarterbacks at a high level, I still think offensive line would be fine for the Bears. But yeah, I think it really comes down to the Titans, because I do think that Harrison's going to end up in that 5-6 range, depending on who's available. And I think the Titans, that's the one where it's like, is this the decisive factor between whether one of the neighbors or Odunze is still available or not? And I think it's more likely to be Odunze. I think neighbors pretty comfortably in a lot of the mocks I see is going earlier. But man, you start to picture what this, some of the reinforcements the Bears have already made, obviously with DJ Moore, and just overall with their pass catching situation, it's exciting to think about where the Bears are going to be. It's been a second. It was a fun, you know, end of the season last year where they did put up some really competitive games, and obviously that's why the coaching staff is still there, at least the head coach. But it should be, I think if they, we'll go with them getting a receiver here. We'll go with the Titans either trading back or maybe, I mean, Joe Alt, not a bad selection at number 7 if he's available. Yeah. Which I think that it really just depends on where Tennessee's board lies. But either way, I think the Bears will be perfectly happy with finding someone to help out their young franchise quarterback, whether it be catching the ball or blocking for him.
Yeah, because I think, you know, for the Titans, obviously they spent money offensively this offseason. They got Tony Pollard. They got Calvin Ridley, of course. So, hey, they may just go all in and say, we're going to give Will Levis everything he needs to succeed here with Ridley. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins still there. Traylon Burks is there. Yeah, like, what if they just go say, hey, we're going to get our third starting receiver here, and we're just going to load up and try to do it that way.
I mean, I wouldn't blame him because Hopkins isn't going to be around forever. I mean, he still looks really good. And I hope he stays in the league for a long time still, but he's definitely up there. And yeah, you get Calvin, but having, you know, that three-headed monster, at least for 1 year, it's pretty appealing. But then you look at the rest of the offensive line minus Skaronski. And I know they signed Christian Berry, right? Yeah. I'm looking at the signings for the, so, I mean, but I still think there's a big need at tackle here. So, I mean, and Levis has taken his fair share of shots in the pros and in college. So protecting him is also important. But yeah, it's going to, that's a really, I think the Titans are one of the more interesting cases where I don't think either selection, you could defend either and criticize it based on what you think they need. But I think in both cases, they an ideal world, they'll find a receiver to help out situation. Maybe they think there's depth in this draft where they can get one later while taking a tackle there in the top 10.
That's my guess is the way they go, because I think if Ault's still there, I don't see him passing on him. But you never know, as we said, could make things interesting if one of those two other receivers are still there and they're like, this guy may be too good. Or maybe that's where you trade back and you still get Ault in that scenario. So, a lot of possibilities. But everything we said, things get interesting here, because now it's like we talk about all the quarterbacks, we talk about all the wide receivers, we talk about the potential of a Joe Ault going, as my guess would be probably the lone offensive lineman that goes in the top 10. But where are the defensive guys? Because that's the question. There's one defensive guy that I've seen probably in every single mock draft that's out there go in the top 10. That's Dallas Turner from Alabama. And most people have him going to the Falcons at number 8. But let's just play the wild hypothetical here, Dylan, that you do see some of these trades that you all of a sudden get people bouncing here, bouncing there. And the setup is possible, I think. I don't know if it's necessarily likely, but if you think about, let's say there's multiple trades in the top 10. Even if the Falcons stay put, is it possible that we go 10 picks in this draft without a defensive player being taken? Hard to believe, because I do feel like Dallas Turner is not a full lock, but he seems as close of a lock as you could probably have of going in the top 10. But like we said, this is where the trades and the movement comes in. We don't know if the Falcons are going to trade back. And I think, as it was pointed out, I think Pro Football Focus pointed out, Terry Fontenot, he's never really been a guy who trades back ever. So like, it seems like the Falcons will keep their pick, but it's, is it as obvious as saying we're going to take Dallas Turner, who would seemingly still be on the board at this point in 95 of 100 scenarios? If we talk about, you know, the quarterback run and the wide receiver run, Titans go offensive tackle. Maybe it still happens where you don't get a defensive player in the top 10, but that may take the Falcons doing something that at least on the surface seems unlikely, and that's trading back.
I think you're onto something. I was reading that the only time in the Super Bowl era, it was just a few years ago in 2021, a defensive player wasn't drafted in the first 7 picks. Mm-hmm. It's only happened once. So to say top 10, I think this is definitely quite the bold prediction, but for all the reasons you laid out, there's a lot of credence to it. It comes down to the Falcons, as you mentioned. I think they're the one team that, you know, gets to, once again, the same way we're talking about offensive linemen and receivers that are available because of the QB top heavy draft. It also means that Atlanta likely, it's not for sure, but likely is going to have the, you know, their pick of whatever defender they want. The top defensive player on their board is going to be there potentially. And then are they going to pass on him? That's the tough kind of part. Cause you look they don't dare draft another tight end in the top 10 of Brock Bowers, do they? Keep the Georgia guy there and pair, have a two-headed tight end monster. No, I don't think that's going to happen. So you look at the other, I mean, their offensive line is pretty solid. You know, depending on who's available though, man, like, again, we talk about Joe Ault. If somehow he gets past the Titans and he's available, are they going to have a hard time passing on another pillar in their mind to help protect Kirk with all the receiving weapons they have, Bijan and this team? I don't know if I think I don't know if the odds of this one coming true are as high as some of the others, but I do think it's at least in play, and that in itself is kind of crazy here, that we might not see a defensive player in the top 10. It just speaks to the quarterback power, how important those are, and the amount of teams that are really in need of one. Also the depth of receiver that we have here at the top 3, and then some of these offensive linemen, obviously Brock Bowers kind of in that mix too. So So just a lot of offensive talent, which bodes well for teams like my Rams and some other teams in the teens and later that are going to have, you know, a lot of these edge guys that the Rams are looking at in corners that just really in a lot of years would not be available for them to sit back at 19. That might be, I think we are, I guess another follow-up to this would be if there are no defensive players that go in the top 10, how many are taken from 11 to 20? And it might be like almost all, yeah, maybe like eight of those, maybe even more. So it should be a fun thing to follow for us. I'll be following the Atlanta picked hard, but yeah, I won't be shocked by any means if Dallas Turner ends up there. That would seem to be a pretty solid fit for what they need. But if they go offense, I guess that's probably the part where, if, like you said, if they don't trade back and it's not something they've done, and maybe they will though this time, because they might be able to trade into that little next group of teams, yeah, in the teens, and there's still going to be a lot of those defenders that they might want and edge rushers. But if they have Dallas Turner, like, you know, on their overall board in the top three or something, and I have a hard time seeing them moving back, but we'll find out. This would be pretty nuts. It would be unprecedented, I believe. I'm imagining, and you know, if it's only happened once in the Super Bowl era, the top seven, I'm guessing that year the eighth pick was a defender. I'd have to go look back, but I think it's certainly in the realm of possibility here.
Yeah, it would take a lot of wild trades, I think, because let's also remember, we know the one thing the Falcons aren't going after in this draft. It's the Falcons. They've surprised us before, but they're not going for a wide receiver because they've got Drake London. They picked up Darnell Mooney, Rondale Moore, Ray McCloud. Like, they went, I mean, how many receivers they had? Three in the offseason, yeah, I think. So, like, they're not going wide receiver here. So that also sets up the likelihood that they're going to take a defensive player, and it is a defensive player in a huge area of need. So, we play around with that bold prediction, but the only way I think that could play out is you get just the bouncing of the trades, and maybe the Falcons realize they can trade back a couple spots, get more draft ammo, and still get Dallas Turner potentially. Because again, you just never know who we're going to be in these spots by the time we get through the top 10. But if the Falcons stay put, Dallas Turner seems to be the likely choice there for them. It's not going to be a wide receiver. If it is, hey, the Falcons have done it again. But speaking of doing it again, Dylan, this is a good one I think we can wrap up on. That's the Raiders. We never know what the Raiders are going to do because they are the one that you never have any idea kind of what how things are going to unfold with the Raiders. But I know you've got some interesting thoughts. What could happen here with the Raiders in this draft? Because they're another one that, as always, just is seemingly a wild card. No matter who's in charge, the Raiders are always one that's kind of hard to peg what they're going to do. So.
Yeah, it's a different regime though. We, yep, did kind of go seamlessly from Mike Mayock to Dave Ziegler, and kind of see different strategies, but similar in terms of Raider fans being perplexed by some of the first rounders they've taken. We'll see how, you know, Tyree Wilson looked okay at times last year, but maybe seems like another overdrafted player. It's a different era though with Tom Telesco there, and it's kind of funny to, like, I'm like using my Charger brain to think about what the Raiders, yeah, might be doing. Obviously, a different organization, different ownership, and those kind of things, they'll make a difference. We did see this team, you know, come together in the second half of the year. The defense was a big big bright spot down the stretch. Think of the last game the Chiefs lost was that Christmas game where the Raiders held them to basically nothing the entire game. But another defining part about that game was the Raiders have like a ridiculous level of passing yards, like could hardly throw the ball. So yeah, I think quarterback, clearly, as I mentioned, with you talk about teams that might want to trade up into the top, into the top four there and possibly draft McCarthy. Maybe that would have been a little different if our man Jim Harbaugh had gone to the Raiders instead of the Chargers. Then I would feel really good about the chances of that happening with him firmly in the Justin Herbert bucket, and that not being the case. I think Penix is the next guy down where, you know, it seems like a natural spot where if they just don't want to worry about it, they could take him at 13. I think he'll likely be there. I'd be surprised if another team jumps up to trade him too high. I think the thing that would be more prudent though would be for the Raiders to wait, draft someone at 13. They still have a lot of other needs on this team. I'm trying to think of different guys that might be available in that spot. you know, depending on the mock you look at, they'll take a corner, which would make a lot of sense. There's still going to be some offensive linemen in that range. I think an edge rusher to pair with Max Crosby could be a lot of fun to imagine what that could do. We'll see how Tyree, again, still have, I'm sure, still have faith in what he can become and do over the course of his career. But yeah, it's still overall defense that has a lot of need. So I think corner would make a lot of sense. But then you kind of trickle down and there's, you know, you look at the different picks that the Raiders have available to them after the, you know, I think 44 is their second round pick and 77 decent picks, yeah, in the second and third rounds. I think that's enough ammo to possibly trade back late into the first round if Penix drops. So that's kind of the take I had here, is that they'll find a way to get Penix. Where exactly they get him is not necessarily clear. It just kind of gets to a run of teams where I'd be surprised if they take one. I know there's a lot of mocks have the Rams at their second round pick. I'm taking Bo Nix. I know at times I mentioned Penix as a possible, just having that backup guy behind Stafford where, you know, he goes through different injuries and, you know, I still think there's a lot left in the tank for him, but has had a fair share of times where he's been nicked up, what that could mean for them. So I think there's still like this group of teams in the middle where I'm like, I don't see them taking Penix. Maybe I'll be surprised and the Seahawks or something will just be like, look, we're taking the guy. We're going to go for this. But I think more likely he drops here. And I think that Penix will be a fun fit for the Raiders. And, you know, a guy that, right, you know, I understand why he's not in the same group at the top of the draft. I think there was, again, if we go back to before NFL draft Twitter really has their fun over the last few months, it really was that top three QBs. And then you kind of had a separating factor where McCarthy was above Penix, but more of a teens pick and has kind of separated himself with the way teams are looking at them. But I still think Penix with his, you know, isn't the, you know, I know there's obviously with being a lefty, he's always going to be kind of compared to Tua. I don't know if that's exactly fair, but he does have some pretty solid deep accuracy. I know he played with some ridiculous receiving corps there in Washington. And, you know, did take some hit, kind of put him, you know, was dealing with some internal issues during the national title game at times that he fought through. But I think when healthy, this guy's just been, he's been, you know, a lot of fun to watch. And I think, yeah, he's not going to necessarily be able to improvise the same way some of these other quarterbacks are and take advantage of different things. But I think in the right system with the right group, he'd have a chance to be quite successful. So I think Penix, not a shock if we were to see him going here to the Raiders with them trading up somewhere in the 20s, I'd guess would be the prediction here.
Yeah, and I know people may be like, at this point, you have to be confused about where every team's actually picking, right? If you're not looking at it, because you're like, man, there's so many trade potential. Like, let's just give you the order so you have an idea. Like, first top 15 picks here. Bears, Commanders, Patriots, Cardinals, Chargers, Giants, Titans, Falcons, Bears, Jets, Vikings, Broncos, Raiders, Saints, Colts. That's the top 15 picks. And like we said, there's a couple of these teams that are interesting just because the Vikings, you mentioned, have the 23rd pick. You know, Cardinals obviously have also a couple things they can do given their pick status. So that's where we talk about like all these things that can happen, whether it's the Raiders trying to make a move to trade back, who wants to come up. It's just, we can't predict that this far ahead of the draft, just because, as we know, Dylan, everything's like a smokescreen when it comes to the draft, because no one wants to let their true intentions be known, who they want, who they don't want. I mean, how many times have we heard, boy, this team has no desire in taking this player, and then they wind up taking that player. It's just, that's the way the draft works. And so any of these predictions that do come true, congratulations to us, because they usually don't when it comes to this draft and how chaotic this thing gets. So,
hey, at least we're not doing a full mock this time, which I know at times can be pretty interesting to look back on. But we've had some hits over the years, but
we did.
That's where it gets a little tougher when you're trying to really get accurate ones. Here, there's a little wiggle room. We don't have to say who the Raiders are trading with. We don't have to say which defensive player isn't taking the top. You know, like there's some more specific predictions here, but we get a little more wiggle room. So hopefully we get a decent hit rate on these.
Yeah, if we were doing a mock draft this year, I would say, can I please have the number one, number seven, and number eight picks? Because those are the only ones that I would probably feel pretty good about my confidence in saying Caleb Williams to the Bears, Joe Alt to the Titans, despite some of the things we mentioned, and probably Dallas Turner to the Falcons, despite some of the things we mentioned. So yeah, like otherwise, good luck trying to figure out how this board's going to fall, because even the Jaden Daniels one at two, like we said, may not be as clear cut as you would think. May ultimately go Drake May. And then that's where I think the trade of Palooza starts. People just start moving everywhere. And we see if someone trades up to grab Marvin Harrison, who trades up to maybe grab one of the other quarterbacks. Chaos, Dylan. Always going to be chaos in this draft. So we'll see how it plays out. And obviously, lots of stuff over at Clutch Points to get everybody ready for the draft coming up. So let everybody know where they can find all that.
Yeah, you can follow the NFL in the Clutch Points app in our NFL section there. Also, the NFL section of the website. We got full mocks for every team. We do have our general mock draft as well, and another final edition that I believe will be coming out next week. But yeah, we also, if you just want to read about where your team might be going with all their picks, we got those coming out. So you can go to the NFL section. We'll have the NFL draft tab also at the top of our homepage if it's not already there pretty soon. So yeah, lots of draft heavy time for us. Obviously, we got the NBA playoffs starting, NHL playoffs, but just had the WNBA draft, a lot of fun coverage there. But the NFL draft has become the focus for this next week and a half. Should be a lot of fun, and can't wait for next weekend.
Yep, should be a lot of fun. Check it all out there at Clutch Points. And as always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Any podcast app you use, search for Establish the Pass. And thanks as always for listening to the podcast, and we'll talk to you next time here on the Establish the Pass podcast.